is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
ESPN going over James Harden's game last night. James made three or four passes. He was 11. The Nets were 11 of 17 off of his passes last night. I mean, they're showing James had 11 assists, 18.7 rebounds, and 11 assists. Some spectacular passes. They didn't show that, you know, the other ones. I mean, he makes some unbelievable plays, but then there's other ones you go, James.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We've seen it here.
Yeah,
we all know.
He looks like a different guy, though.
You would hope, well.
You know,
he's got certainly, well, I say that, although he hasn't had the opportunity to play with the other two very much, which is still at seven games. But I mean, it's still a system that he's familiar with and a coach and Mike D'Antoni is familiar with. So, and he's asked to do a little less as far as everything on his shoulders. So you can be more efficient that way.
Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't have to score like he did here.
No.
I mean, an 18-point game out of James here was probably a loss.
You're getting beat by 20 as opposed to beating the Spurs by 12.
Right. Still want to talk about this. Let's get Spencer in here. He wants to talk about Tebow. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, John. So you actually stole my thunder about Tebow. You know, Trevor Lawrence should be usually under quite a lot of media scrutiny and spotlight and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, the guy has never – I didn't know this until somebody told this yesterday. He's never lost a regular season college football game. So he simply doesn't have any concept of the idea of losing. And he's a number one overall pick. He's all that kind of good stuff. But the media loves Tebow so much and is obsessed with Tebow that the only thing people are going to be talking about during Jacksonville spring training camp, summer, going into the season, is Tebow. And, you know, and – maybe it doesn't matter to Lawrence, but it will take some of the media spotlight off of him. You know, and as far as Jags fans are concerned, the Tebow is from Jacksonville. So my assumption is people who are from Jacksonville are like, oh, this is great. It'd be like if the Texans signed Vince Young to be a punt returner. And people around here would be like, oh, this is great. Vince is going to return punts. So I think that's why he's doing it. And if he's successful, good for him. If he's not, good for him for trying, because he keeps putting himself out there in positions where he's probably going to fail, but he still does it. And, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah. From Jacksonville, did the publicity says it's for attention for the Jets. I don't know all of it. You know what? Urban Meyer just maybe throwing him a bone. Whatever. Hey, Tebow, come on. Try out for tight end with us. And whatever the case may be, it's here's the deal. When was the last time you were talking about the Jaguars? Anybody was talking about the Jaguars. And now they're going to talk about the Jaguars more because of Trevor Lawrence, obviously. But maybe this is somewhat of a publicity stunt and whatnot. But, you know, the Jaguars have been nondescript for how long now? I mean, they did get to the AFC Championship game, but it was Blake Bortles, and we knew what they were about. We knew what that team was. So, I mean, that they're garnering attention now. They've got one of the great college coaches of all time. They've got the number one quarterback that's come out in quite some time. Now they got Tim Tebow on top of it to draw attention to the organization. Let that little organization have their day.
That's the point.
That's a nice little organization.
It'll be a day or two, and then if the losses start to pile up, no one will remember this particular talk. Oh, look, the Jags, you're paying attention to the Jags.
The losses are going
to
pile up this year. They had one win this year. Well, what are they going to be, a Super Bowl favorite?
No, it's not about that. That's the point. Football, being good at football will determine whether people start to talk about you. The Tim Tebow thing is fine for May. And however long he remains on the roster, but once football starts and you stink, this conversation goes away, and no one's going to care.
Well, once Tim Tebow doesn't make the team, then Tim Tebow goes away, and no harm, no foul. I mean, it's one of 90 spots. Well, this is what's wrong with the NFL. Really? There's 90 guys out there, 90, and only 53 spots.
I wouldn't have gone that deep because I just didn't think enough or care about it enough. But all these rosters are somewhat built this way in terms of a guy will like a guy more for whatever reason, and he gets on the team, whether it's a familial connection, or he coached him in school, or one of the scouts liked him more.
Right.
It's some of this stuff always happens, and that's why some misses on rosters are made, and then maybe sometimes they hit. I don't know if it shows that the NFL has a giant nepotism problem, but why do coaches get hired? Because they have a connection with a coach, not necessarily because they're the best guy for the job. People like to be around people they know. And this, more than anything, is I know Tim Tebow, and that's why someone said, why don't you just make him the team chaplain and not the tight end, since you like him so much.
Right. Well, Jeff is here. What up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing this
Good,
morning?
Man. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. Hey, I have two thoughts real quick. One, on the Tebow thing, but two thoughts about it. One is, doesn't it make sense from a coaching perspective is you have a guy that was your system, and Meyer's the systems guy. Look at all the places he coached, and you look at successful NFL coaches, and it's a system. Who knows the system better and more successfully than Tim Tebow? Without him being a coach, he's like an on-the-field coach. And secondly, who was the other guy in college who was as successful as Lawrence? Tebow. So doesn't it make sense from both a publicity standpoint and also from an organizational standpoint, we get Tebow on the cheap. More than likely, like you said, he's not going to make it onto the team, on the real roster. But now you have a guy in camp who is, in essence, a coach and a systems knowledge guy who can help Meyer implement his system at a cheap, you know, without putting a coach title on him and everybody flipping out because they made Tebow a coach without any experience. But now you get all the benefits of all that years of experience and knowledge and wisdom, and paying them on the cheap to be on the team. So, anyway, that was my thought.
I don't know that Meyer has a system. He's never been an offensive coordinator. Even at Utah, even before he got that job, he's never held the title of an OC. Certainly, he has a way of doing things offensively in college. He was more of a power spread guy, power run guy. But that won't be a system. He's not gonna ask Trevor Lawrence to put the ball under, tuck the ball 15 times a game. So I'm not sure. And Darryl Bevel is the OC. So I'm not sure. I would maybe a culture aspect of it I would buy, but as far as implementing a system, I don't think Meyer has a way of doing things offensively, but he doesn't have a system. His background isn't being an offensive coordinator.
Bevel came from Seattle. He worked with Russell Wilson for years.
Yes.
And they had a system that Russ, you know, flourished in. I could certainly see that being successful for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, using his, because Trevor Lawrence is an athlete.
And Russell Wilson, that system changed as Russell Wilson became more comfortable. You know,
I don't know that it's going to be Urban Meyer's offensive. It's certainly not going to be college offensive. So he's not going to run what Braxton Miller ran.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know that he has an offensive system other than he hires guys who runs off an offense that he prefers, because he's just never called plays before.
Yeah. Get ready for some Trevor Lawrence jump passes. Maybe. Can y'all bring in John Clay Wolf to save today's show? It's Tim Tebow time, okay? It's Tim Tebow time in the city of Houston. No, it's Texans. It's Texans. Let's, honestly, what reaction do you have to the Texans schedule? It is amazing. It is amazing how little the NFL thinks of this team.
It's not amazing. Why would they think anything of them?
No, Jacksonville was the worst team in the league last year, right?
Yes, but we've talked a lot of Jacksonville football for whatever reason this week. We've gone through why they're a more compelling team.
Oh,
they're
much more compelling. So they got one preseason game for the Jags. Okay. So they start with the Texans. That's a noon game. Then the Broncos, noon. The Jaguars at the Bengals, September 30th. That's a Thursday night game. Everybody gets a Thursday night game. So they got a 27th game. So then they have the 8:30. They play the Dolphins. In England. That's a London game.
It's London, yeah.
The Dolphins and the Jaguars play in a London game. Then they've got, what else do the Jags? They've got a couple of 3 o'clock games because they're on the West Coast. That's amazing to me, because Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, I'm surprised that they didn't get a Monday night game. I'm surprised that they didn't want to showcase the Jags a little bit more. Maybe they're waiting. Let's wait and see. But I would think that Trevor Lawrence would draw some eyes. I would think that Trevor Lawrence would draw some eyes to an early Monday night game, maybe. Maybe against a division opponent, not the Texans, certainly, but against a division opponent early on, maybe the Titans or the Colts.
I'm trying to think last year. Did Burrow get a Monday night game last year?
It's the Bengals still, yeah. No, I don't think
that. The Jags,
I don't know. Probably didn't.
Yeah, because what week did he get hurt? He got hurt early, though, right?
Yeah. Fifth or sixth week?
He had the Thursday night game against Cleveland, but that's just Thursday night game. I don't think they look at young quarterbacks that way.
Yeah. Isn't Lawrence a bigger name than Joe Burrow was coming out?
Joe Burrow came off a Heisman. And a national title.
Trevor Lawrence has been in our he's been in our world for 4 years, going on 4 years.
Understood,
now.
But the dude had maybe the best college season for any quarterback ever.
Yeah.
And they didn't think to, hey, let's throw that guy on Monday night.
So, no.
I guess maybe they don't treat young quarterbacks that way.
Let's wait and see.
Yeah.
Yep, let's wait and see. Make sure. You know what? The second year, he's going to be better anyway. But it certainly would have been. I would have thought that the Jags would have got. But, okay, so the worst team in the league and then the third worst record in the league have zero appeal to the NFL.
Surprising.
No. 913 ESPN, 97.5.
When the whistle goes,
real fun. When the whistle goes, sports. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back here. Just looking through the schedules, man, I'll tell you what. Well, last year you found the Bengals did play a Monday night game. They got a Monday night game.
Late in the season against the Steelers.
Well, the top four picks, and the worst four teams in the league last year, were the Jags, the Jets, the Texans, and the Falcons. None of them have a Monday night game. None of them. The Falcons have a London game. I think that's probably a penalty. They and the Jets have but they only get their one Thursday game. And the only other time anybody, the Falcons will be in the 3 o'clock slot against the Buccaneers on September 19th. Otherwise, if you're a bottom feeder in the league, you ain't deserving no prime time in the NFL. It's as opposed to relegation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're relegated to noon.
Yeah.
They relegate you to noon.
They're the unclean, the unwashed.
That's it.
Beat it.
So it's not just the Texans thing that they're such an uninteresting team that they get the noon slot. And they let's face it, the 14 paid. Yesterday we're talking about of the 17 games that the Texans have, they have to play one Thursday night game. Everybody has to play a Thursday night game, and they have two West Coast games. So outside of those, how many would be noon on Sunday? And it was 100%.
14.
All 14.
The NFL knows. The Texans are so unattractive that no matter who they're playing, you have to put them at noon.
But you know what? At least they're consistent. Even with Trevor Lawrence, they said, Jags, you suck too. You're not getting primetime. You're going to get, obviously, because they are on London's team, they get a London game. So they're going to be showcased at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And hopefully, at least for the NFL's sake, that people remember to get up and watch it. Yeah. I will be up because my team's on the other end of that London deal. They'll be playing the Dolphins, so I'll have to be up. But, I mean, it makes complete sense. You're bad. We don't think you're going to be good, as opposed to San Francisco, who was also not very good. Now, they weren't as bad as these teams we were discussing. They did the trade up, so they're up at 3, but initially they were at 12, and they have, like, I think 5 or so primetime type games or Monday, the combination of Sunday night, Monday night stuff, and obviously the Thursday night game, they will be featured despite being terrible. Because I think the NFL thinks that's just an injury plague season that derailed them, and they'll be back.
Boy, how the mighty have fallen. Former 2014 first-round pick, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who was also a Pro Bowler in 2016. Well, he signed last year with the Cowboys, who cut him in September and didn't get picked up by anybody. Now he's going to try out with the Texans, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. This is how far Ha-Ha Clinton Dix has fallen.
He's going to try out with
the Texans.
It's pretty bad.
Can he beat out Lonnie Johnson or Justin Reed or Terrence Brooks? Or
is Lonnie Johnson a corner or a safety?
Lonnie Johnson is a safety, let's face it.
I thought he's going to be unleashed at corner.
That's right, he's unleashed. I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot about the unleashing.
But to answer your question, I don't know that Ha-Ha Clinton Dix can beat out Terrence Brooks. Terrence Brooks actually had the ability to sign and not have to try out.
Well, he's just on a tryout basis.
Yeah. So, maybe not. That's a guy who has had some success in the league, as you pointed out. But, yeah, that's a steep drop-off to have to come to Houston and impress the Texans and see if they would like to sign you. And the Texans sign any vagabond, and he has to try out.
Better chance of making their team. Tim Tebow or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
Is Tim Tebow trying out, or is he eventually just going to sign? Because is he just going to sign a deal, or will he have to try out?
I don't care.
Didn't he already sign a deal?
No, I don't. No, it's not official yet.
No,
I don't really care.
Because if Ha-Ha, because it makes it more difficult for Ha-Ha, just like to say that, to try out and make the team. Although he is a better NFL player, at least previously, than Tim Tebow. I'm going to go Tim Tebow because he has the Urban Meyer card. He has a guy clearly in his corner. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix doesn't have that here.
Yeah. No, he doesn't have. No, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is like, listen, we think Jonathan Owens is better than you, but you can come and hang out with us here.
If you'd like.
Yeah. Does this mean that the league thinks the Cowboys are back by putting them on the first game?
No, they're the Cowboys.
They are the Cowboys, and they got the brand.
Yeah, and Dak is back, and he'll play, so that's something you can sell, that the starting quarterback is back, and they're playing the Bucks. So, no. They will always get these opportunities.
Yeah. How about that the 49ers? Now, the 49ers have been a good football team. And the Bears and the 49ers have five nationally televised games.
I told you. I mean, they think the 49ers will be better, and last year was just a misstep due to injuries and I don't know, a weird year for them. But, yeah, they start off with the Packers on Sunday night in week three. That's the first, and they have the Colts on Sunday night, and then they'll have the Rams on Monday. Yeah, they think the 49ers will be good. The Bears made the playoffs, but not with a great record.
No, but, and they gave New Orleans all they can handle.
Yeah.
But and there's still a big market. Listen, the Jets didn't get any. You would think with a new quarterback, with Zach Wilson's mom, with all the stuff in their New York, you would think that the Jets didn't get any national love.
They're bad, and they're in improving mode.
Yeah.
You guys put together something that is reasonable as far as in terms of an average season, then we'll see you next year.
Do you think the league, they're going to start out Sunday Night Football against the Rams? The Bears are going to start out against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Do you think the league wants Justin Fields or Andy Dalton?
I know what the league wants. I think it's not just league. It's what we all want. No one wants to watch Andy Dalton play football anymore except for some people in Katy.
Mm-hmm. You think the league wants, with all those national games, Trey Lance over Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't know. Jimmy's pretty handsome.
Jimmy G has some appeal.
Yes.
I think they don't mind it. I think they wouldn't. I think maybe they probably prefer Jimmy G, at least initially, before something awful happens to his leg, because he's always hurt. I think Jimmy G is the guy they're looking for. Trey Lance is, despite being drafted high, is kind of anonymous. He played at North Dakota State. I mean, we're football. We're do this for a living, so we know. But Trey Lance, as far as a prospect, how many people have seen him play games?
No, but he's still the third overall pick, so.
Yeah, but he doesn't have star power.
No.
Not yet. Justin Fields does. Mac Jones does. Zach Wilson even to a degree,
right,
and certainly Trevor Lawrence. He's the most anonymous of them all.
Yeah, now he's not in our...
he didn't even play last year. He played one game, which was more of a trial for scouts to see him. Didn't play all that well in it. He's the anonymous. He might be one of the more anonymous top five picks, particularly because he's a quarterback.
Clearly, the league doesn't believe Aaron Rodgers.
They think he's going to play.
They've got five nationally televised games, and if it's going to be Blake Bortles, oh my gosh!
If Blake Bortles
beats
out Jordan Love, you might as well just Gutekunst might as well just hand it in his papers. Blake Bortles is there just to be there because they have a fear that Aaron Rodgers won't be on the roster. If he's beating out Jordan Love, he and Gutekunst should get traded together. I don't know if any team's looking for a GM, but they're tied together now if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play.
Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots are playing teams that are coming off three byes.
Yeah.
Three weeks they play a team coming off a bye.
Couldn't happen to a better team.
Nicer people. That's a little shot.
But who are the
probably a little shot?
Who are the teams? Are they good teams? Because that would even make it even more fun. Or teams expected to be good?
I can't find any other unexpected. Week 14. How about? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like New Orleans, the Falcons, the Saints, the Jets, and the 49ers all have Week 6 byes, which means they play 12 games in 12 weeks to close out the season.
That's a bad draw.
That's a bad deal. That is a bad deal. The Patriots share Week 14 byes with the Colts, the Dolphins, and the Eagles. They have to play 13 games before they get a break. So I don't know which one's tougher, but at least you're going to have a break toward the end of the season. 927 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. Right chain by the double. Yeah. Got things by the double. Yeah. Do everything but cut them. Mike Bob Bowling now. I got mine out to go.
ESPN 975. I'm in love with the go-go. I'm in love with the go-go. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Someone for Tita spoke to Tim McMahon. And Tillman said this, "I never thought I could feel this good when I've been so upset about losing. But when I look at all the draft picks that we have in the future, I'm just happy. I know it's unusual to feel this good with your coach and your general manager, but I do." You believe that Tillman feels great about the future?
He has to have been sold on the vision. And it's funny you're bringing this up because yesterday the story was out there, and Bill Simmons of The Ringer, formerly of ESPN, very prominent name and voice when it comes to the NBA, said he couldn't believe that Tillman was excited about it. And he's taken shots at Tillman in the past and the Rockets in the past, but he took shots and said there's no way he's excited about it. They got nothing for the James Harden trade, and the Rocket fans took to Twitter to roast his ass, because apparently in 2013 he was upset about the Celtics trading of KG and Paul Pierce when they took the Nets for all their picks. And those picks turned to like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So the Celtics did something very similar, dumping established players for just draft picks.
Yeah.
And it worked out just fine for them. So there is a precedent for it. I mean, we've talked about this consistently that I would have hoped they would have gotten an established NBA player. And you know, Caris LeVert, you've harped on the Caris LeVert thing and the Jared Allen thing, and Rockets people can battle that.
Still could have had them and the picks though.
Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't have to trade Victor. Didn't have to trade Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo.
No.
You didn't have to do that. And now, speaking of that, Victor Oladipo out for the year. Only played four games after the trade to Miami. He's out for the year. Hurt his knee, and he'll have surgery. He's elected to have surgery. I just don't think they got enough on their current roster. But if the dream is to get Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out of the deal, then certainly, yeah, you'll look at the trade and go, things kind of worked out for you. But you're just gonna have to hope traffic. You're just gonna have to live in that realm where you believe the picks will fall your way. Brooklyn's gonna fall apart at some point, And not only that, not only does Brooklyn have to fall apart, but you also have to hope with the new lottery rules that you fall somewhere in the top five. Because just because Brooklyn's terrible doesn't guarantee you're going to be picking in the top four. You only get a 52% chance of doing that. So it's a lot different than it was with the KG Paul Pierce deal.
Well, that's this year, and that's the.
Does it change?
Yeah, it's this year for that.
No,
that
but four. even in the future when Brooklyn's terrible, like you got to hope Brooklyn's going to be bad in 3 years. You have their picks, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that there's limiters on it.
No. I mean, you have. When I say top four, I mean you want to be high in the lottery.
Oh yeah.
But there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee you're going to be.
Yeah. It's even less of a guarantee than it was in 2013.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
you'll still have the picks.
Yeah. You'll still have the picks, no matter what. Well, I guess I got to believe him. I'm a little worried that Christian Wood just has 2 years left on his contract. Maybe they're behind the scenes talking already and Christian Wood is amenable to a long-term contract. But I think you've got to have that found and you've got to get this pick. You've got to get a top four pick. If you have to give up this pick to Oklahoma City, it is a disaster for the organization.
Yes.
You lost all of these games for nothing if you don't get in that top four. But I could certainly see it happening bad luck wise for the Rockets. But and then, oh, by the way, now you got to hit on that pick too.
There are multiple things that have to go your way. The season you've had was the first step. You put yourself in the best position you could to have that pick fall to you, and then you have to hope you don't pick the wrong guy if you actually get the pick. I know here the conversation has been about whether it should be someone not named Cade Cunningham and the hope that maybe you don't get the number one pick so you don't be forced into taking him. Now the Rockets won't think that way. Most NBA people don't think that way. You're number one. You'll be fortunate to take Cade Cunningham. People have seen him here say, we'd rather have Jalen Suggs. I mean, that's been a conversation throughout the day. I mean, you've talked about it. I think AJ talks about it as well in the Blitz. At least I've seen him tweet about it, I think. So you have to hit on the pick, and you got to hope that he is – whoever you take is worth it, is worth the losing. And you have to hope your fortune plays more part of it than your real control. You've done everything you can, and it still falls into luck and bouncing lottery balls throughout this pick here. And then even when you have your Nets pick, if they fall apart, you got to hope you win those lotteries too.
Yep. No, absolutely. Well, and you hope they fall apart. You hope that whole thing falls apart. If James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant decide they're going to end their career with the Nets, boy, that'll suck.
Yeah.
That's going to suck.
Because even when they're 34, 35, they're still going to be too good for you to be in the top five as far as their picks are concerned. But these things generally don't last that long. I mean, players get a little antsy and they want to move. I mean, I don't foresee it lasting that long. The Heat only lasted 4 years. How long did Golden State last? KD was there for, 3 years? The likelihood of them all staying there for that long seems small. But if they go by the wayside and you expect the Nets to fall off, there's no guarantee that the Nets don't go sign two other good players. I mean, they'll have cap space and they're in New York and maybe some other players want to play there. The James Harden trade is completely understandable. It just falls on a lot of chance. You got to hope for factors you can't control to fall in your favor.
Man, you got to really, though, you got to give it up for that little team last night.
They tried hard.
They were a try-hard team. They lost by two. Kyle Kuzma walked all the way to the basket and scored, and they beat him. And the Lakers won 124 to 122 without LeBron, without Anthony Davis, without Schroeder, without everybody. Mm-hmm. There was nobody on the floor for Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma didn't even start for him.
He doesn't
start, but you would think with all those guys out.
Maybe they just didn't want to screw up whatever bench they had left.
Right, and he was 8 for 12. He had a good game. But, man, you know, Tillman is happy with Steven Silas, and Steven Silas is happy with his guys.
I have multiple guys out there just limping around, and then I'm walking down the hall from the coach's office to here. And there's guys in the hallway lifting weights and doing bands after that game. So, yeah, I'm disappointed that we lost. But, I mean, the character of the guys and the fight and all of those things that I keep talking about, especially with the guys who are playing limited minutes because they've been just killing themselves over the last however many games. So proud. Like, there was a time during the game where I was just had to stop and just shake my head at Jayshon Tate and his effort, limping around, trying as hard as he possibly can. And same thing with DJ Augustine and Kelly, and then the young guys, of course. But I just had to tell the staff when we did our little meeting before I go into the huddle, like, they're giving it everything that they have. And I really wish that we could have won this game, because they deserve a reward for it. And a reward is more than me telling them how much I appreciate it. And it's more than me telling them how much they are showing, not just me, but the Rockets fans and everybody, how hard they're playing. I just wish they could have gotten the reward tonight. But
you know what they do? It's got to be hard to lose. I mean, every night. We saw an inconsolable Steven Silas about a couple months ago.
During the long losing
now
streak.
He's like, well, you know, it's what we do. It's what we do. It'd be nice to win once in a while.
Yeah, but when you lose 20 in a row, can anything really break you after that? When you start, oh, we're in the middle of what could be a 9-10 game losing streak? Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I've been through already this year?
We're a bunch of losers. It's okay.
I don't think he said that. I don't think he said that at any point. We're a bunch of losers.
Well, yeah.
Hey, guys, look, I know you guys are limping around. We've got Kelly Olynyk having the best stretch of his career. We're probably going to pay him $80 million over, 2 years. And we're a bunch of losers. But at least you're trying hard. I don't think that's the message you send.
Yeah.
We're a bunch of losers.
But listen, that's what we do. We lose. We're losers. It's okay. But you know what? They really are trying hard. Our guys are trying hard. Darn it. Gosh darn it.
And we like them, too.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's got to be hard.
Do you think
Steven Silas isn't going, when? Oh, my gosh, can this please end?
You know, we should have
when will Steven Silas be a 500 coach?
He's not going to win a lot next year. Never.
He'll never, ever, ever. After this start, if Steven Silas becomes a 500 coach at any time, he's going to be one of the great NBA coaches
think about
ever.
It. He is. What's their record now? And then you tag on what'll likely be a bad team next year. If he becomes a 500 coach, it means he's probably one of the better coaches in the league.
He's 38 games under 500.
And it probably will get to 40.
Yeah. Yes, they will get to 40.
They got the Hawks and someone else.
They got the Clippers.
They're probably going to get to 40.
40.
So he's 40 games under 500. If the Rockets don't fire him after next season, they're going to be bad next year. You can probably, in an 82-game schedule, you can probably add another 25 games to that, maybe. So maybe after 2 years, he's 65 games under 500. If he finds his way to 500 at any point, you're talking about one of the better coaches
in
the league.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, he'll have to get a job somewhere else.
Team.
But where does he, after this, I would understand. But how can you introduce, you're a team, the T-Wolves or Sacramento or Orlando or whoever, and here's our new head coach. He is 28 and 92 in his career as a head coach. Steven Silas, everybody. How are you going to get excited?
It's
almost impossible to find another job.
He's going to have to be an assistant someplace for quite a few years, and his reputation will have to be built back. And maybe on a team that does big things.
Yeah.
And people can point to and say, that guy's offense was the reason they won a lot. He's going to have to rebuild that what he built in Dallas. Because right now it's like, how do you sell that? How do you sell it to management? How do you sell it to your owner? That the guy who was, as you said, 28 and 92, whatever his final record would be, is the right guy for the job.
I can't. How are you going to sell that to a fan base?
You can't.
Here's Steven Silas, our new coach. What? 942 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Come through, have sex on rough, that's Persian. Come up to your job, hit you while you're working. For certain, I'm a freaking, not speaking. Leave that ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Who do you want up at the plate right now in the game situation? Yordan, Yuli, or Tucker? Looking at the last three games.
I was about to say, one of these things is not like the other until you mention the last three games.
Yuli homered in the eighth the other night, homered in the first yesterday. Tucker's had two moonshots. Yordan is just Yordan. But with the game on the line, I think Yuli.
I would still take Yuli.
I think I'd take Yuli. Yuli?
Yep, Yuli. Yeah. I don't know. He left the game last night.
Yeah, no.
Feeling
I
Ill,
hope he. But... I hope. God forbid. When I saw Ledmus Diaz at first, I was like, don't tell me after losing Urquidy that something's wrong with Yuli.
He felt sick, is what they say. That's what Dusty Baker said. He was removed from Wednesday's win because he was feeling sick. Suddenly feeling sick.
At the time, I was like, oh, no, please don't tell me. Sick, that's fine. Although it took McCullers a while to get off it. When he got sick. He missed a couple starts.
Yeah.
But the way Tucker's looking at the plate right now, it's pretty damn good. And then Yordan is
You going to apologize to Jackie?
Jackie's, I don't apologize to no women. I don't take no orders from no women,
Jackie's
by the way.
Not a woman. And you do take orders from one woman.
Yeah. From no one.
No woman named Jackie. Okay.
Right. By the way. I don't take no orders from no women, by the way.
Of all the clips,
That's your favorite?
It's my favorite now. I can't. Everything that his accent, he's on a new. He's standing next to a female news reporter
telling her
his while he's talking about being in some type of verbal battle with another woman. I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Carlos looked good last night. That's a good sign. Bregman is still Bregman. Altuve homered, although the rest of it, I mean, he did hit one on the nose, another one on the nose that was just an out. Chaz McCormick, can we give him? Why not just put him out there in center field? Let's see for a week. Give him a week. Give Chaz McCormick a week that he plays center field every day. Let him try to get into a groove. He's got pop. I mean, we know what Straw is. That's going to be. Don't make Chaz McCormick the once every 10-day center fielder. Let's see if he can. I know he's hitting .167. I get that. But he can't do any worse in center field. And secondly, he's got some pop that every once in a while he might come up now. And this at a time when Miles Straw just had a couple of hits the other night. And his OPS was, until last night, his OPS was, or his on base rather, was higher than Carlos Correa's. But even still, give Chaz McCormick a shot, Dusty. Give him a shot.
I can't believe you're bearing the lead. Are you watching this on TV right now?
The Women's Open?
Where they couldn't play for the national title?
He said the course is playable,
but not championship level playable, so they weren't allowed to play. Can't believe you didn't start with that.
It's in Baton Rouge? Well, they got a lot of rain there, but you saw that it was playable?
The Golf Regional in Baton Rouge was canceled. He said it's not playable at a championship level. So they canceled the
tournament?
The regional.
That's stupid.
Can't believe you
canceled
that.
It? Why not just, okay, let's wait another day. And let's let's squeegee some of the water off or something.
Sorry.
Well, it is women. Do you think they just said? Do you think they just? Well, listen. The NCAA, the women's basketball court, they had 2 5-pound weights, and that's it.
when they were.
And because they couldn't fit any more in there. There was no room.
It was a giant room.
Gigantic.
And they were like, well, we couldn't find any more. We didn't have any room.
Fit any more weights.
Yeah, that story from during the Final Four. It was the tournament starting, and they didn't have a legitimate weight room for the women. And then it went viral, so they had to fix it.
And, you know, that is really a shame, too, because I watch, and not in a creepy way, but I watch women's college golf.
Maybe a little bit.
I actually, no, watch it, it to as for an enjoyment level.
Because of the golf.
Yeah. When I'm watching college volleyball, it's another story. But
you didn't have to expound.
But women's college golf is actually really good, and it's actually watchable. Not basketball, not so much, but
you couldn't just stick with the positives. Just stay with the positives.
I am staying with the positives.
Just that you like watching women's golf. No, just leave it at that.
Women's college golf is actually pretty damn watchable, and that's a shame. I mean, and if it is, well, it's just the women. I don't take no orders from the women.
And it's
just because they want to play golf or something.
And it's your people.
By the way,
Baton Rouge, your people doing stuff like this.
That's not my people.
It is your people.
No. I mean, that's Wendy's people. So that, and by, I guess that's my people.
They're your people.
Yeah, there's my people too then. But that's ridiculous.
What does it make? How does
and
it,
not playable at a champ? You know what? There's been plenty of championships that have been decided on a course that was less than desirable because of weather.
His quote, the full quote from, what's his name? Brad Hurlbutt, the NCAA.
Oh, Brad Hurlbutt?
Representative. He's talking about how this is how they settled it. Therefore, the top six teams that were seeded will advance along with the top three individuals that were not on those teams. Again, heart-wrenching decision that we had to make. The course is playable, but not playable at a championship level. What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. If it's playable, it's playable. What are you talking about? So they got to slog. Guess what? Everybody's got to slog through it. If it's not rolling, there's puddles, and everybody's got the same playing conditions. Play it. What the hell? That's a dumb decision.
Apparently, some of the golfers were yelling at him, saying he should be ashamed of himself, like yelling, because he had to come out in front of them and give them the decision. It wasn't handed down where they got news from the coaches.
Yeah, like,
he had
you
to
saw
walk
it,
out in front. Like,
well,
they were,
good.
Like,
he should have to face
in front of the clubhouse.
Yeah, you saw. We saw the video. You know what? He should have to face the music. Good. He didn't just send out a statement and run out the back door. He had to face the music. You know what? That's stupid. That's just stupid. I mean. And I'm an advocate for women's golf, too.
At least,
are you? Yes. And you know what, Mary? I am.
Are you, though?
I was going to say at least for women's golf, yes, you are. Now, if you throw women's volleyball or basketball in the mix, you're less of an advocate.
But not for the gameplay.
Not for the gameplay.
That and women's softball. I actually like watching women's softball.
What for? Why? Why's the reason? What's the reason?
For the
competition?
I'm going to tell you. Because of the game. I actually like the game.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
It ain't for the women, trust me.
Oh, God, you couldn't. Golly. Why? You can't just leave it alone. You said actually.
Knew. You keep asking him the question, so
you're the one leading
on
the
you.
Witness.
I'm setting him up.
Your Honor.
I'm setting him up to try to dig himself out. All he had to say was, no, I actually like it for the game. And then he goes, not for the woman. See, he didn't have to do that.
I don't take no orders from no women, by the way. James is here. He wants to talk about the Astros lineup. What do you say, James?
Hey, I like women's softball too, Granato. The women look athletic when they play it. It's not a man-played sport, so I see them do things that I'm like, I couldn't probably do that.
No, it's a,
I couldn't hit that right.
No,
softball.
It's a good. No, it's actually a good game. It's tough. Go ahead. Go see if
game.
You can hit one of these college
Dale
pitchers.
So sexist.
Yeah,
I'm not being sexist.
Yeah, Dell is. Why
you
do you watch it?
Sexist,
I watch
Dale.
It because it's a good game.
And then you say, what else did you say?
Well, I don't watch it for the women. I mean,
and the tone of and how you said it. What else do you have?
What
James?
Else?
I have a question for you. I think Yuli's great. I think he's a terrible first baseman. And so when I look at the Astros putting like their best nine on the field with their DH, I think Diaz has to be in the conversation
And I'm curious, do you think Jordan will ever get out of the DH role and that he can play a position every day? And then the other question is, I'm probably way off base here, is there any chance that Diaz could play center, or he doesn't have the athletic ability to play that position how it should be played at a major league level? But Tucker, man, I know he took good the last three games, but he just is inconsistent and streaky. And so my question is at the All-Star break, if Tucker's hitting 240 with an OPS of like 700, isn't this experiment over?
No.
Like, can't we do something else?
No. The answer is no. You're not doing anything else. Tucker, and by the way, 240 right now, he's hitting 203. So 240 by the All-Star break, he'll be on a streak. He'll be, yeah.
Oh, 215. 215 by the All-Star break. What are you doing with him?
No, you're still running him out there every day because you don't have a better option. And you know what? Listen. Normally, this is Alex Bregman at this time. Let's not forget that Kyle Tucker is a professional hitter. This is the best start Alex Bregman has ever had. He's usually
Michael Brantley's a professional hitter. Kyle Tucker is not a professional hitter. Don't you disgrace Michael Brantley by calling Tucker a professional hitter.
He makes a point, John. It's insulting. A little bit.
Kyle Tucker is going to be just
how
fine,
good,
James.
How good?
Kyle Tucker is going to be a 270 hitter when this season is over.
Kyle Tucker is the newest addition of Morgan Insberg for the Astros.
That's not true. That is so not. First of all, he's not doing any illicit drugs.
You don't know that.
So to your point, Kyle Tucker could actually play center field, and you can move Aledmys Díaz to right field. With Aledmys Díaz
is... Has he played in the outfield in his career?
Who? Aledmys Díaz just played the other night.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
So, I mean, yeah, Aledmys Díaz could play right field if it comes down to it. But here's the thing. I think they like Aledmys Díaz off the bench. I think that, you know, much like we just talked about Kyle Kuzma coming off the bench, I think they like Aledmys Díaz as a utility player as opposed to an everyday player. Now... If Miles Straw continues to struggle, are you as good defensively if it's Tucker in center and Aledmys Díaz in right? No, you're not. So I don't know. It's probably not going to happen, but that's a possibility. You could put Tucker in center and Díaz in right. It would be a godsend if Jordan could play first base. And I totally disagree with you about Yuli at first base. Yuli has been a bad first baseman to start. He was a very good first baseman defensively last year. This year, he's made one mistake.
He
didn't come off the bag for Bregman's throw. That was a mistake. But otherwise, Yuli has turned himself into a decent first baseman. More than a decent first baseman, actually. So I disagree with you on that. Would it be awesome if Jordan could play first base? Yes. It would be his size, and if he can dig and he can play the position. If you take 1,000 balls a day, for Jordan, you hit him 1,000 balls a day. I think he could. Well, we'll see. I don't know whether or not he could do it. We'll see whether or not he could. But that would be a godsend. Yeah, and Dream Shake caller, Yuli, terrible first baseman, huh? Yeah, I disagree wholeheartedly on that.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.